This is Dominic, wedding DJ.
And this is Serena, wedding planner.
And together we are the wedding duo. We are here to talk all things weddings.
Planning a wedding can be stressful, but we are here to help.
So before you say, that's it, we're going to Vegas, don't go to Vegas.
Let's have some fun.
Join us as we answer your wedding questions and help navigate planning one of the biggest days of your life with
the wedding duo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast that is affectionately known as The Wedding Duo. Oh,
yes, nice, The Wedding Duo.
It's a new intro.
That was a new intro. New. Wow.
So change it up. People will be like, this is the same old. Oh, it's new. It's something new.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And today we are on episode 16, which is really exciting for us. We are making it through, making our way through the podcast episodes. We're excited in another level because our kids are going back to school tomorrow, which is a whole other thing. And it really kind of ties into what we're going to start talking about today, which is the tough stuff. Okay. And I say that because I think a lot of times we, even when we're doing social media or when we're talking to people about wedding planning, we kind of paint this picture of it being this fantastic, wonderful, you know, amazing experience. And it can be, right? It definitely can be. But there's another side to it, which is it can be stressful and there are parts of it that can be difficult.
Yeah. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Like, guess what? Planning a wedding is a little stressful. For those of you that are in the throes of this planning process, they're like, yeah, thank you for stating the obvious, I guess. But the thing we want to get across is that you are absolutely not alone. Anybody that's ever tried to plan one of these things gets stressed out. And I mean, it is going to be part of the process because it is a battle. It's just a long process. Some people it's 18 months from the time you get excited. Hey, we got a ring. And then there's just a million different little pieces and parts and details that you got to work through. Right.
Right. So specifically, we're going to talk about three different topics. And the first one is going to be exactly what we were just mentioning, the stress. Like, how do you manage, especially as usually, you know, the couples we deal with are in their 20s, maybe early 30s. This is the first time you've taken on a large event.
Yeah. Most people have never hired a DJ or a photographer or a caterer or a venue. And it's probably the first time you've had all your family and friends coming together to stare at you.
Yes.
Stare at you in that dress that you took all that time to pick up.
And not even that too, but even before that, the shock of the price tag, right, can really get to people and it can be overwhelming to look at the cost as a whole. And so some tips that I often share, if you're just getting started, is, and we mentioned this in a previous podcast when we talked about the budget, but start off being honest with yourself about
each other.
Right.
Well, that's probably a good policy as you're getting married anyway, to be honest with each other, right?
We like to stick to that, yeah, I think.
We should try that.
But really look at your finances and say, hey, not only is this what we want to spend, but this is what we can spend. And then you can dive deeper into each of the sections of your day and see where you want to divide that money. But it really helps right out the gate to be honest with yourself, with your partner, with your family, whoever's helping with the financial piece, to be honest about finances.
I think your dad's still mad about you, mad at you about your first wedding.
Well, I hope he's not listening. Sorry, Dad. No, I mean, seriously, like, it's a lot of pressure, not only on the couple, but on the family if they're helping to pay. And it can be a very emotional roller coaster of sorts to get started down that path and then not know, you know, get in over your head on certain things and find yourself in a position where you're having to, you know, maybe go into debt. And that is a stressful piece. So as I stated, the honesty part will help you right out the gate. If you can even write it down, put it on a spreadsheet, you'll really do yourself a favor.
Yeah. And if once you start to get a ballpark of like, here's what this costs, here's what this costs, here's what this costs, and you have everything that before you've like even dropped deposits and said, what can we live without? You know, where's our priorities? Mm-hmm. What do you really want versus what would be nice to have, and just kind of iron it out and just, you know, play Rochambeau with your fiance and say, I want this, but I want this. And okay, well, let's get chicken instead of steak because we can stretch our budget farther that way or whatever it is.
Absolutely. And this is going to be some life lessons from a married couple. We've been married, you know, a number of years, and this will help you.
A number of years? That's pretty vague. How many years?
Seven.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So, and when's our anniversary, sir?
July.
July what?
6th.
Oh, good job. Okay, he got it. He got it. We're okay.
Stress me out with that. See, this is stressful already. We've been married for a number of years, apparently.
So just the communication, right? So let's touch on that a little bit. As a bride-to-be, I remember this doing it the first time around when I was first married. You get inundated on social media from family and friends with ideas, with opinions. And all of those things come with, like we were mentioning, a price tag. But they also, you know, may come with a level of stress. And it will be helpful for you to, I think, learn to communicate with your fiance, your soon-to-be spouse, because like we were talking about, this will help you in your marriage as well, you know, about how you're feeling. Really, to talk to someone, maybe you have a friend or a parent or somebody in your life that you can express how you're feeling throughout the process, because it's overwhelming.
We've talked about this in a few TikToks where it's like, okay, here's the vendors you need. You need a photographer, you need a DJ, you need a caterer, you need to pick your dress. You know what? You need a therapist. Let's put that on the list.
Maybe.
You need to get a therapist. Or like she said, just a friend or a confidant. But at the end of the day, it should be the two of you that are deciding what you want to do. Because I say this all the time. We say this in every event or every episode. It's a very personal day. Your cousin's going to come at you like, why would you ever think of doing? And you're like, should I not be doing that? And they're going to get in your head. You're going to get in your own head. And you're like, just at the end of the day, what do you want to do? It is your day. It's a very personal day. What can you afford? Maybe your cousin had Daddy Warbucks writing checks and you don't have that. You don't want to be in debt for the next 30 years, paying off the one day. So,
exactly.
So keep it all. The ultimate thing is the two of you are still in love. You're still going to make this commitment on that big day. And the rest is just details. I know that seems like kind of candy coating it all, but ultimately that's what it's all about, is the two of you getting married. But
right,
that gets lost sometimes.
It does. It often does. And that's what I meant by being inundated with all this pressure to do certain things, right? And so the first thing we talked about was honesty in your finances. The second thing that we just touched on was communication, right? Or sharing your feelings with your soon-to-be spouse or someone special to you, so that you have somebody to talk to about the pressure and the stress that you're feeling.
I have something that might make everybody feel better.
What's that?
I've had clients where I talked to them and I remember very clearly, they were like, yeah, well, I'm trying to finish my degree. You know, I'm in finals, you know, as we're creeping up to the wedding. I'm like, oh, that's hard. And she goes, yeah. And we're trying to buy a house.
Oh,
and
that's my gosh.
I'm like, and then she goes, and I found out I'm expecting. I go, good Lord, the pile on every major life event.
It's true.
In a 3-month period. Holy cow. So for those of you that out there like, yeah, I just peed on a stick today and found out, or whatever, whatever it was that you found out that's like on top of it. Just a wedding enough can be really stressful. And like I said, it's a major life event, but buying a house, having a baby, graduating college, those are all major life events also. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just all come in on the same summer and you're like, oh, bloody hell. Why am I?
Yeah,
you'll be very bored next summer, but this summer is going to be fast and crazy.
It's true. It's a time in your life for a lot of people where there's a lot of really big things going on. And so again, the topic today is really some tips and what we've experienced with couples that help to keep you sane and keep you happy through this process. And, you know, something I tell my couples all the time is the one good thing about having a long engagement or that usually planning process is about a year or 18 months, is you can have breaks somewhere in there, right? So we can talk about that a little bit. Wedding planning goes in kind of peaks and valleys, meaning especially like at the beginning, you're doing all this stuff, you're finding a venue, you're looking at dresses, you're picking out your wedding party. But then there's going to be a period of time where you don't necessarily have to be doing anything. And I always say, take advantage of that time. Take a break, put the binder on the shelf, and just take a complete turn off the wedding world for a little while. And tell people that too. Tell the people around you, you know, I'm not thinking about weddings right now. I'm concentrated on school, or I'm enjoying my relationship with my fiance. And then turn it back on when you need to.
Or like plan it out where you're like, oh, we got a 4-day weekend. I'm going to finish my finals or whatever it is you're working on, or I'm taking a few days off, or we're going on this road trip. like, oh, well then let me bring my binder with me because I'll have tile downtime, right?
Right.
That's something you can kind of say rather than have it always just like, I got to get to it. Say like, okay, we'll schedule that time to get to it. And then you can turn your brain off or focus on whatever else you have to focus on during that time, right?
Absolutely.
Because she's very much right. There are times at the beginning, if you're like, you got engaged, you got to get a venue to get a date, and then you got to get your vendors. Because that's something like, what's going to time out? Sometimes your save the dates or your invitations, maybe you want to have those at a solid time and then get your vendors locked up. But once you have that, you're like, okay, well, you know, picking the menu can be this week or next week. You know, it doesn't.
Right. It can be flexible.
Doesn't need to be, yeah. You just can, and you can even reschedule that stuff. But when the vendors are gone, the vendors are gone.
Absolutely.
And when the save the dates is too far, now you're going to have people that can't make it because they didn't get enough warning to get time off of work. So there's little things like that, but most of the stuff can be flexible.
Right. Very true. So again, those are the three main topics that we wanted to cover for stress. And that was being honest about your finances, communicating with your fiance, and having a confidant around you, right?
Talking
and then
to you,
taking breaks.
Out there.
Yeah. Well, especially people that are really organized or yeah. have to have things a certain way.
Sure.
So the next topic we wanted to kind of transition into is, and we get asked this question so often that it really brought this to light for me, that how many people are actually dealing with this. Planning your wedding when you are missing someone special to you. Okay. Specifically, usually it's like a parent, a father or a mother.
Yeah. Who's passed away.
Maybe is a sibling. Can be really challenging in the sense that there are certain traditions that we stress upon brides and grooms that should be done maybe with a parent. And so if that person is not in your life, it can really shine a light on that. Mm-hmm. And that can be very emotional for a lot of couples.
And even if it's, I mean, even if it hasn't, if it's like fresh and new and within a few months where you lost a parent or a grandparent, that is like extra hard. But even if it's like, you know, if it's the father of the bride passed away 10 years ago,
right?
On this day, on your wedding day, father of the bride is a major player. And if you had a good relationship, whether you even, you know, if you were young and you didn't really know him, or, I mean, there's that void there. You feel it. It's palpable for sure.
Absolutely. Palpable. And so something easy that we talk about, and it's not an easy word, something that we talk about a lot is, you know, some couples have addressed the fact that they're nervous about either having a dance to honor this person or even having any type of symbolism, right? Because they know it's,
they want to, but they don't know how to do it.
Right. And they're worried about the emotions that it's going to bring up for them. Something that I mentioned to the couples is I feel like for a lot of couples, it's actually more cathartic to have that moment, right? Whether it be during your ceremony or during the reception or whenever it is, whatever you're doing, so that you can cry if you need to, so that you can honor that person and everybody can share in that, in those feelings with you. And then, you know, it's like they're there with you in spirit. It really is important, I think.
Because if grandma passes away 3 months before the big day and she was planning on coming, I'm pretty sure your grandma wouldn't want to ruin your wedding day because she passed away. She would want you to have a good time. Your father, your mother, your brother, mm-hmm. wherever it is, they would. If they were still alive or they were sick, whatever, they'd be like, oh, now I have guilt because I've ruined your day. Like, right. They want you to have a beautiful wedding day and a party. It's supposed to be a party, but it is hard when you go in with a heavy heart with something like this. So to her point, address it. Of course, you want to pay respects to that person and in your heart know that you wish they were there. They're here in spirit, you know, and whether it's during the ceremony and you kind of like have a moment of silence or somebody addresses it, and you kind of like have that moment where you're like, oh, you are missed.
Right.
And then check that block, if you will. Have that moment where you cry or whatever it is. And then you can kind of get your composure back mm-hmm. and then focus on the marriage and the wedding and the love and the party. Because
right.
that's all part of it. And again, somebody, I'm sure your loved one that has passed away would want you to still have a good time at your wedding day, right? I mean,
right.
Of course they would. They loved you. They would want that for you.
Absolutely. And that's important to keep kind of at the forefront while you're having these feelings, while you're going through this process of trying to decide, you know, what to do to pay respect to this person.
Do you want to get in the weeds about like other things people do? Because like usually father of the bride walks the bride down the aisle. So some people go to the backup plan, the bullpen, if you will, have an uncle, a brother,
grandpa,
your mom, if your mom is around. And this would just be like if that person's missing, but you can, I was talking about the father bride, but it could be anybody really, mm-hmm. But grandpa, you could have a good friend or walk by yourself.
Absolutely.
The bride did this past weekend. And this is, we're talking about if somebody passed away, but it's not just that. It's if somebody's not in your life anymore, right? Maybe you have an estranged relationship with somebody and your father's not in your life. Or maybe you have dad and stepdad or both attending. So we've seen all, it's not always a Norman Rockwell painting, right? These, mm-hmm. the day, it's like very rarely are both parents of both couples are both the newlyweds' parents are together. That's not that common actually, really. I mean, right. It happens, but it's all these mix and match things. So, but there's other ways you can do it. Like I said, have somebody else fill in.
Yes.
And then you can do a dance with that same person. If it's grandpa, you can dance with your mom if you're a bride without a dad, brother, best friend, or not at all.
Absolutely. So you know you best, right? You know your comfort level with your emotions. If you're like, I want to get out there and pay respects to my father and cry it out with, you know, his brother, my uncle, you know, and have that dance, then you do that, right? But if you're worried about being that emotional or people seeing you in that state, you don't have to do these things. You can do something a little more understated, I guess is the word.
But before you even get started, if you have siblings there or your mom's there, have everybody come together in the bridal suite before you put your makeup on, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just have a moment.
Say a prayer.
Say a prayer. You just cry it out and you're like, okay, dad, that was for you or whatever. And then, okay, put my face on, you know,
yeah.
And then it's
do your touch-ups.
But you've had that. You've had that moment where you feel like you've paid your respects to that person. Maybe do it that way. I've never suggested that before, but that just kind of came to me, which would be a good thing.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it. And again, all of this is going to depend on you. And this is very personal, what we're talking about today. This is something that we feel strongly is important to the couple enjoying the planning process as much as possible. And these are just some things that come up over our years of doing this that get in the way of that, you know, talking about things that aren't talked about as frequently, you know, on TikTok where they,
the tough stuff,
the tough stuff
the
right?
Hard conversations. So some other things people have done is, of course, people are pretty, it's pretty well noted out there in the wedding world. People can do a memorial table where you have a picture, whether it's grandparents or somebody that is special to you, an uncle, friend, whatever, a sibling. And you have a table there with a few candles and some little sign that says something about you're here in spirit, you'll be missed, whatever, that stuff. Which is all a great sentiment. And people like to see it because they like to see the picture and be like, oh, look, that was back when we were
on the lake. They do. They appreciate it.
But the other thing you can do is during the ceremony, I've seen the groom walk down with a single rose for his mom that had passed away. This was not that long ago. And he walked down with a rose, put it on the chair right up front because that's mom's seat, right? That was, and it's a very simple thing, but it's also very powerful. And then, of course, putting a picture or something on another seat, and this happened just 2 weeks ago, grandma, and there was a picture of a seat. There was a seat up front with a picture of grandma and then a second picture with the bride and grandma. And it was her grandmother that passed away not too long ago. And she was really close with her. And somebody made a comment. I did a TikTok on it. And somebody made a comment like, well, nobody could even see it. And I go, but is it for everybody or is it for, it's for the bride. The bride saw it. I guarantee you. Because when she got up there and she turned to look at the crowd, there were her parents. There was that seat with her, a picture of her and grandma. That's what it's for. I mean, if everybody else sees it, that's great. The pictures made it back to the reception for the memorial table anyway.
Right. They got moved into the reception space.
But it's that sentiment. It's in your heart. You're like, I want to save a seat for grandma.
Right.
Damn it.
Where she would be sitting.
Where she would be sitting if she was here, because it's kind of like she's sort of there, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's one. That's another way you can do it. And it works really, well. Or like I said, during the ceremony, have a moment of silence. Have your officiant address it.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's hard for you to do it. If you're like, oh, well, when I give my toast later, I'm going to speak. I'm going to thank everybody for coming. I'll address it then. That can be hard. Just prepare yourself. That can be hard.
Right. And anytime you ask anyone to talk about someone who has passed, just realize that that is a lot. And it's not that it can't be done or that it shouldn't be done. It's just a big moment for them. And it gets emotional as you're speaking about this person that you love. So, you know, just be aware of these things. And that's why we're talking about this today, is that these things come up. They've come up in conversations that we've had with couples, and we want to share them with you.
One reason why we kind of direct people to saying, let's bring it up. If you want to include it in your ceremony or in your day, in your some point during the day, before you get started, during the ceremony, maybe when you're doing the toast or the speeches. But once you open the dance floor and you start the party, I have like PTSD from this moment because it was late in the night. We had been partying. We had probably 2 hours left in the party. This was in the middle of the dance party. The bride had said, me and my sisters want to dance too. You Should Be Here by Cole Swindle, right? Which is a very emotional song.
Yes.
Just like this song. Even if you don't know the song, it's called You Should Be Here, right? That's what it's called. And I wasn't even prepared, but I played the song. Her and her sisters were out there. They were singing at the top of their lungs, but they were like sobbing while they were doing it. Right. I looked over at the photographer at one point. We both had like tears coming, which is not hard for me. I'm emotional anyway, but I'm a train wreck.
True.
But I was like, holy cow. And in my head, I'm like, how do I come out of this, right? As the DJ, I can't just say like, let's get the party going, wah, 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 and start LMFAO. You have to be sensitive to that moment. So, and not to say you can't do that. That is something you can absolutely do. But if it is a really heavy moment like that, tell your DJ, like what I did was I played another slow song and I emceed it and said something like, well, clearly he was loved and he is sorely missed. But that was really beautiful. You guys had that moment. Let's do another slow song if you want to dance. I just put some distance between it and then slowly kind of ramp the party back up.
Right.
But it really derailed the party.
Yes.
Since, I mean, and again, it was her day. She wanted that moment. And she had that moment. But just be cautious of where you put it because it could really, you know, that's hard to recover from. It took a minute.
So. It is. And it's true that you should have that conversation with whoever is addressing the crowd after that to let them know that you want them to be appropriate. You want them to transition as smoothly as possible. So what happens, you know, we're going to kind of move on from this topic and go to our last topic. What happens if you have an opinionated mother-in-law to be?
No, that doesn't happen.
Or
you don't
maybe,
have that difficult personality.
Maybe it's your own mom or your own sibling that is giving you all the advice and telling you all the things that need to be done, right? So
we all have that person.
We have those people.
We all have them.
Those people. And when it comes to weddings, for whatever reason, I think second to being pregnant, it is like the second thing that people think they are experts on and want to tell you how they did it and how it should happen and all that stuff. And it's very challenging, right? It's very challenging. So on top of the stress of the financial piece and all the decisions you have to make, and then, you know, going through this process for the first time, you may have somebody or some buddies telling you what to do. And what do we do if that happens?
Well, I was going to say, if you are helping a bride, maybe you're the person that's like, oh, luckily she doesn't have anybody in her life that does that. Is it you? Are you the person in her realm that is doing this to her?
Well,
so what I would say, like I was just said, it's a very personal day. Ask. If you're helping a bride, ask them what they want, or a couple, ask them. Don't tell them. That's the whole approach. And if they say that's really not me, then don't force it. It's not your day. It's their day. And if you're the bride or you're the couple, it's hard being, if you're nice, if you're a sweet person and you just want to like, yeah, that's a good idea. You want to like, and then
please everybody,
but you don't want to say no. You're not that person that says no, but now suddenly you're doing all this stuff on your wedding day and not the stuff you want to do. You're doing something other somebody else wanted you to do. And it's not even something you would have ever done.
Right. And the thing that really gets challenging, I think, for a lot of couples is what if somebody is paying for a portion of the day and they feel then justified in having a say? So this comes up a lot too. Like they're like, I really don't want to do it, but they're paying. So I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
Right. So something that I would advise couples on is it's going to be maybe the first time you've done this, but you're going to have to maybe have these tough conversations, and you can do it in a way that doesn't come across as, you know, angry or upset, but more just conversational and just saying, you know, hey, I have these ideas about my wedding. I appreciate your help. I appreciate, you know, your advice, and I want you to be a part of it, but I'd really like to, you know, try doing it this way, or however you want to word it so that you make it known that it is an issue.
And it is because you're going to probably, let's say it's your soon-to-be mother-in-law, you're going to need to have a relationship with this person, right?
Exactly.
So you can't just burn the bridge flat out, right? It's really hard. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because when you marry that person, you're marrying their family as well, right? Everybody's coming together. Maybe they live 6 states away, so you won't have to deal with them very often. Or maybe you can move. But something to consider, something to consider.
Right.
So it's tricky. You want to have that conversation. You want to like lock your heels, but you don't want to ruin the relationship, right?
You don't. And you don't want to make the process more stressful by now having this drama between your, sister-in-law, soon to be sister-in-law, or whoever it is. So it's treading lightly, but being honest. Again, we'll go back to that first piece, being honest about your feelings. And for a lot of you, especially my younger brides, this is the first time you've had to do this. You've had to kind of stand up for yourself because this is a very important day for you.
Well, especially if you're not a confrontational person too.
Exactly.
And I'm like that. I avoid conflict, but there's times where what you don't want is for it to blow up on your wedding day. And I've seen that where somebody like you finally get to the point you're like, oh, we're not doing that. I didn't tell her, but we're not doing that. Well, now she's like, well, we're doing it, right? She's like, oh no, we're not doing that. Or somebody else has to tell her. And then she comes to you. And now the two of you are having this confrontation in your dress on your wedding day. That will absolutely wreck your day. So if you have this and you feel like it's coming to a head, address it months before you get to the altar. Because, oh my gosh, on your wedding day, you really just want to keep it all. You want to focus on the day and stay in your little bubble of bliss, right? Like we say, and keep it like all happy and emotional, good emotions, fun. Because we've seen it where it comes up and some personality just wrecks your day. And you don't want that.
You don't. And I've had brides ask me like, hey, this is becoming an issue. Like, what should I do? And I do try to gently guide them, like we're talking about, to have the conversation. Now, if it is a very difficult personality and you don't think the person is going to be receptive to hearing you, you can ask, for example, if it's like your fiance's mother, like you can ask your fiance also to have that conversation. Or I've had brides write it down, right? If they're really nervous about having that conversation in person because of that one-on-one, like I have to actually face this person, maybe write it out to them, you know, and have them give it to them in a text or a letter or something, just so you can express your feelings. And like he said, you don't want that to carry over to your actual wedding day because it will affect how you're feeling that day.
Or beyond. You don't want every Christmas to be like, oh Lord, me and your mother don't get along. That is really hard. Ask anybody who's married. It's really hard. But that's one way to do it. And that's actually pretty sweet to like put it in a letter and say like, I'm marrying your child. I know you two love each other and you've got a relationship. I'm very excited to be part of your family, but I want to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
That's really
the honesty piece. Yes.
But the other thing you can do,
this is the thing that
I always like to suggest, because sometimes this works too, is lose it. Just lose it on them one day. You're already so stressed. Wait for a day where it's like bubbling over and then they're there and they're like, well, why don't you just try on the dress? Because clearly this is your wedding day. I'm trying to have my wedding day and I'm trying to make it personal. I'm trying to make it my day. And you're taking over making all these decisions. I don't know what I want yet, but I don't want you to make all my decisions. Like just lose it. And they might be like, holy cow. What? And like push them back because you want to think that it's coming from a good place and they're just trying to help.
Yes.
Most people, there are those personalities. This is not the case. But if it is that, and there's like, oh, wow. Yeah, I guess I was kind of a little bit up in your face there.
Right.
And I will take a step back. But again, if you're already stressed out, it's a good day. Like you have to focus that stress somewhere. Might be a good release. out on them. I don't know. You got to know the people, right?
I would maybe try talking or the letter approach first.
It's another option.
It is an option for sure.
But let's talk about the most tangible thing that we suggest all the time with that. Give them a mission, right?
Yeah.
If they're trying to take over something, give them something that maybe you don't want to do, like the RSVPs. That can be a bear. All these people coming back and forth, you're trying to track it all. You're really busy. Say, hey, would you mind?
Yeah, it can be helpful.
Taking the RSVP or the seating chart, as long as you don't mind. Maybe she's sitting between you at the sweetheart table. It's like, I see you put yourself there at the sweetheart table with you and my son, your son and me.
This comes up if you're really having trouble with someone who's overbearing, like wants to do everything, right? So that is a good tip if you're trying to get them off your back for getting involved in every little piece. Make sure that you give them something that you're comfortable with them doing, but it also makes them feel included. And so again, that's a very positive way to handle that situation.
Because even the RSVP, sometimes there's like some reaching out and saying like, hey, I haven't heard back. Are you coming? Like, somebody else can send that email on your behalf, right?
Sure.
And that's a whole thing for sure.
So these have been some important topics. I think they're things that more people in the wedding world should talk about and be open about helping couples and helping guide you guys through this process.
Because it's pretty common.
It is common. So if you want more of us, you can always find us here at our podcast. But we are also theweddingduo.co is our email, is our website. We do virtual planning. We have a shop where we have downloadable items. We're on Instagram. Of course, we're on TikTok where it started as Wedding Duo. But we will end this today by saying what we always do.
And I've already said it once in this one, but and it's more relevant to this topic than anything else. It is your day. Mm-hmm. Don't let somebody talk you into something you really want to do or talk you out of something that you don't want to do. Let me say that again. Don't let somebody talk you into something you don't want to do or talk you out of something you have your heart set on. There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
That was it.
Because it is. It's a very personal day. It's very unique to you and your loved one, and keep that as your focus. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Happy wedding planning, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Hey, so thanks for listening to our podcast. If you found any of this information helpful and you know someone who may be engaged or is a maid of honor, maybe you could tell them and share it with a friend.
Absolutely. So screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram, on Facebook, and tag the Wedding Duo. We promise to share the love back. Also, if you are interested in more resources or the show notes, you can go to theweddingduo.co. We have one-on-one virtual sessions, a shop, all sorts of fun stuff. Check it out.